the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you another great song today by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and we are winding down this week's installments in our series of messages on Bible prophecy, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, this is the end of this week's messages, but of course the series will continue next week for several more weeks to come, so be sure to tune in each and every day, Monday through Friday. Well, right now, before the message, let's hear The Solid Rock. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. To stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Heavenly Father, as we open Thy Word to study today. Speak to my heart. And speak through these lips of clay to those who wait in the great unseen Gospel Hour congregation today. I pray that you will convict deeply all who are unsaved, and may they be saved by thy grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. To God be the glory, the praise, and the honor. For Christ's sake, amen. Now, we have discussed many things pertaining to the rapture. That is, we have the postmillennialist, we have the amillennialist, we have the mid-rapturist, and we have the post-rapturist and the premillennial believing, and so on. Now, we've discussed many things about the rapture, but I have not discussed with you the rapture in detail. So beginning today, maybe today and tomorrow, it may take 3 days, I don't know, but we're going to discuss the scriptures having to do with the rapture. But now let me show you, first of all, before we do that, let me show you a very interesting passage of scripture that has to do with people who tamper with the message concerning the second coming. There are those who say, it doesn't make any difference. It matters not. It doesn't matter whether he comes pre or post, mid, or before or after the tribulation. It doesn't make any difference whether there is a millennium or not a millennium. It matters not. Let's see if it does. Now, in 2 Peter, and this, of course, has nothing to do with the rapture. This has to do with the revelation, or when Jesus comes to the earth and when he stands on the Mount of Olives. Now, this is in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord. And you can study all of the scriptures in the Old Testament concerning the day of the Lord, and you'll discover that it is a day of darkness, a day of sorrow, a day of sadness, a day of blood, a day of judgment. But the rapture is the blessed, the happy, the comforting hope. The rapture is that glorious appearing of Jesus for his bride, but the day of the Lord is the day of judgment and horrible misery. Now, the day of the Lord come as a thief in the night. That's true. In which thou the second coming in the revelation and the rapture have many things in common. But they are not one and the same. They are not one and the same. The rapture will be over in the twinkling of an eye. And Paul told the believers in 1 Thessalonians 5 that they were not overtaken as children of darkness. Now, he said that you are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So, believers are expecting the imminent return of Jesus. That is, any second of any minute, he can come in the rapture. Now, the thing that Peter is talking about here is not the rapture, but the day of gigantic judgment. Now, listen. But the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now we know that's not the rapture. We know that couldn't be the rapture. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Why, certainly. We know that these things are coming, then how should we live? Then we go on in all holy conversation, God, looking for and hastening on the coming day of God. Now, we are looking for and hastening toward the day of God. We know that when that day comes, and when God finally puts down all wickedness and all sin and iniquity, then we'll have universal peace and goodwill toward men. We know that, and we'll talk about that later in the series. Looking for and hasting to the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Now, this is the time that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians. The heavens will be on fire. They'll be dissolved. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now watch this. Here's what I want to point out. Peter said, brother Paul. Now, brother Paul is the minister, or was when he lived. He was the minister to the various churches he founded, and God dictated to him 14 of these New Testament epistles. And so Peter says, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, in which are some things hard to be understood. Peter said, it's not easy to understand all these things. Now, you may not appreciate what I'm going to say here, but it is easier for you and for me to understand them than it was for Peter, because Peter lived almost 2,000 years ago, and we're living in the age of the literal fulfillment of these things, and we're seeing them all around us. So there are things even yet that are hard to understand. For instance, someone asked me the other day, Brother Green, you said that God will burn this earth, he'll melt it. Now, you said that the Bible, and I've just read it, the air will be on fire, the air will explode, the earth will melt, the world and the works will be burned up, and then we'll have a new heaven, a new earth. And this person said, Brother Green, would you mind telling me where the saints and where Israel and the saved nations that will occupy the earth and the nation Israel that will occupy the earth, would you mind telling me where they are going to be all of that time? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not a smart aleck and I'm not a know-it-all. But there is no point in anyone asking that question. Beloved, I don't know where God will place the saved nations and the saved Israelis when he melts this earth and recreates or makes a new earth, and when he burns the devil and the demons out of the atmosphere, the atmosphere will explode and the earth will melt. I don't know where God will safely place the righteous, but since God made this universe, and since God created the heavens, and since God created me, I'm just not going to worry about it. Because the secret things belong unto the Lord, and the things that are revealed belong unto us, and that is one of the things that we understand by faith. Paul said we understand by faith. We understand by faith. So when you come to a passage of Scripture that you can't understand, remember that Peter said some of the things written by Paul are hard to understand. But in the words of the song, we'll understand it better by and by. Glory to God, we'll understand it better by and by. And I don't worry about that, because if God save me, God can take care of me. And that's the least of my worries. Now let me finish, because I want to get into the message on the rapture. As also, in all his epistles, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned. Now watch this, watch this. Here's what I want to show you today. Which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. W-R-E-S-T. That is, they take from, they tear away from, as they do also other scriptures, under their own destruction. Under their own destruction. Now, Peter said, there are men today who are unlearned and unstable, and when they come to a passage of scripture that they can't understand, they just tear it out of the Bible. They take it out. They outlaw it. The liberals and the modernists today tell you and me that man was put here to clean up this earth. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If man was put here to clean it up, if he doesn't do any better in the next 6,000 years than he's done in the last 6,000 since God created Adam approximately 6,000 years ago, and since Jesus died 2,000 years ago about, if man doesn't do any better in the next thousands than he's done in the past thousands, then you might as well give up. Yes, sir, just throw up your hands and say, what's the use? But I have good news for you. I have good news for you. God didn't put man here to clean up the universe. God didn't put the church here to clean up the universe. God didn't put preachers here to clean up the universe. We are here to preach the gospel. The church is here to, the Holy Spirit's here to call out a bride, form the church, and then when the church is complete, the rapture will occur, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. But Peter said there would be ignorant, that is, unlearned and unstable men who would wrest or tear from or take from or remove from the scriptures these things. Look at the same chapter, 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which were of old are the earth standing out of the water, whereby the world perished, but the heavens are stored with fire, so on. They are willingly ignorant, willingly ignorant. Now, I say in love, and I say not with sarcasm, I say this in love and with a humble heart. God bears me record, I lie not. I say this with a humble heart. I don't know everything about the second coming, but I'm striving to know everything I can. And I'm trying, by the grace of God, through much study, many hours of study, I am attempting to learn more and more and more about these prophetic truths. I'm not willingly ignorant. The things that I'm ignorant concerning, it's not willing ignorance, and I'm doing everything I can to know everything I can about the second coming, and I say you should do the same thing. You should study untiringly and learn everything you can about the second coming. Now, it's a dangerous thing Well, Peter said to their own damnation, destruction. He said to their own destruction. He said these are unlearned and unstable, and they wrest these things from the Scriptures, as they do also other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Now that's in 2 Peter 3:16. So don't tamper with second coming Scripture. Don't tamper with any Scripture. Do not wrest Scripture out of its setting to prove points. I'm not going to try to prove anything today. I'm just going to show you that one of these days, every born again, blood washed child of God will be supernaturally and instantaneously removed from this earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Now remember, Peter said, Brother Paul wrote. Now listen to what Brother Paul wrote. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. I do not want you to be ignorant concerning your dead loved ones, that you sorrow as people who have no hope. All right. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now you say, Brother Green, why don't you tarry there for a few minutes and tell us what the Bible means when it tells us that our loved ones are sleeping in Jesus. Mr. Green, if that doesn't mean that they are unconscious, and if it doesn't mean that they are in the grave waiting the resurrection, what does it mean? Well, let's use some common sense and down-to-earth reason. The Bible tells me that God will bring with Jesus all who sleep in Jesus. Let me read it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. All right, now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus is in the grave? Do you? You see, the statement is prefaced with, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. You believe that? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? All right. Then you do not believe he's in the grave. You do not believe that Jesus, the bones of Jesus, and the dust of Jesus is in the tomb over yonder in Jerusalem. You don't believe that. No, you believe that Jesus rose again. All right. Now then, if Jesus, let me change that. Since Jesus rose again and was seen and ascended, and the Bible declares that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, since that is true, we know that Jesus is not in the grave. And since he's making intercession for us, we know that he is not unconscious. He is very much alive, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's making intercession for us. Therefore, since God is going to bring with Jesus those who sleep in Jesus, they must be where he is. Now, it didn't say that he's going to raise the spirits out of the grave and then bring them with Jesus, but he's going to bring them with Jesus. Now, let me tell you, Paul, and remember, Peter said, Brother Paul wrote, and some men have taken from the Scriptures some things hard to understand. What did Paul write? Paul said, we are confident, rather willing to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Paul said, I have a desire to depart this body, this life, and to be present with Jesus. He said it would be far better. Now, this is in Philippians. He said it would be far better for me to be with the Lord. But he said, for your sake, it's better that I stay in the body. Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, we know, we are confident, we are assured, we're positive. There is no guesswork. There are no question marks. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, you listen to me very carefully. The Bible teaches the dead know not anything, but what dies? The body. The body goes back to dust. The spirit goes back to God who gave the spirit. Now, you listen to me very carefully. There is no such thing in the Bible as soul sleep. The body sleeps. The body goes back to dust. The spirit goes back to God if you're born again. And if you're not born again, the spirit drops into the flames of hell. The rich man died, and in hell he opened his eyes. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The body of the rich man was buried, but he opened his eyes in a flame, and it wasn't in a grave. The beggar died, and his body was left at the rich man's gate. And I suppose the dogs, there's nothing in the scripture to prove what I'm saying, but just use some reason and common sense. He died. The dogs were licking his sores. I'm sure they must have devoured him. And all that was left were his bones. And I'm sure they picked up his bones and no doubt put them in the incinerator, dumped them in the valley where they burned the garbage. And that's all right. Doesn't make any difference. God knows where the bones and the body of Lazarus is. And when the resurrection morning occurs, he'll be raised. Now, you listen to me. There is no such thing as soul sleep. When the Bible speaks of sleeping in Jesus, it is speaking of resting. Now, Brother Green, where did you get that? Well, in Revelation, the Bible says, happy are the dead. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord from this day forward. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Happy are the dead. I heard a voice, John said. Revelation 14, 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, that is, from this day forward, John writing before the end of the first century of Christianity, he said, John said, blessed are the dead, happy are the dead who die in the Lord. From this day forward, henceforth, they rest, yea, saith the Spirit. Now, this is the Holy Ghost speaking. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So, that's in Revelation 14, 13. When the Bible speaks of believers sleeping, the Bible is speaking of believers resting until the rapture and the first resurrection. For this we send you by the word of the Lord. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 4:15. The Lord himself, verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, that is the next event for Christians, the rapture of the church, the time when Jesus will come in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and believers who've died will be raised, and living believers will be caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds in the air. Now, if you're born again, you have nothing to worry about. If you're not born again, you have nothing to look forward to but darkness and judgment. Father, honor the precious word of God, the name of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. And dear Lord, save every soul that's under conviction today. Reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, and get glory to thy precious name. Save every soul that's under conviction, especially that soul that's nearest hell. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again. I hope you were blessed as you listened to my father teach us today on the program. And if you were, I would appreciate it if you would just send me a note, an email, or even call us and let us know what was said today that meant a lot to you. We always love to hear from our radio and internet audience. And just before we close today, I do want to mention again our gift offer G. Now, we have had a lot of response to this offer. It's just the letter G as in green. And this offer we put together in honor of Mother's Day. And you'll see why in just a moment. Now, there are three items in the offer. A book by my late mother, a soul-winning booklet about love, and a song for Mother's Day on CD. All of this is in Gift Offer G, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can. And if you would like to have several sets of this offer to share with others, you may certainly do that. Just tell me how many sets of Offer G that you want, and please send a donation to the ministry of at least $10 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first a song written by a member of our staff to honor his mother. His name is Michael Ellis, and it's called Mother's Song. We loved it so much, we have put it on CD to make it available to you. Then we have 5 copies of the soul-winning booklet, Love is What the World Needs. Now, this soul-winning booklet can be used by you to, in your witnessing ministry, to share God's love with others. Then we have the book, Bible Questions Asked Most, Volume 2, by my mother, Mrs. Green. Now, it answers questions like, the words eternal and everlasting, do they have a different meanings? Then, who are the 2 witnesses mentioned in Revelation 11? Just a couple of the many questions answered in this book. So to get all 3 of these items, just ask for Offer G and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.